From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Judgment Inescapable for Condemned Sinners, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Blessed in the Field. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. So was Isaac blessed when he walked therein at eventide to meditate. How often has the Lord met us when we have been alone? The hedges and the trees can bear witness to our joy. We look for such blessedness again. So was Boaz blessed when he reaped his harvest, and his workmen met him with benedictions. May the Lord prosper all who drive the plow. Every farmer may urge this promise with God, if indeed he obeys the voice of the Lord God. We go to the field to labor as Father Adam did. And since the curse fell on the soil through the sin of Adam the first, it is a great comfort to find a blessing through Adam the second. We go to the field for exercise, and we are happy in the belief that the Lord will bless that exercise and give us health, which we will use to His glory. We go to the field to study nature, and there is nothing in a knowledge of the visible creation which may not be sanctified to the highest uses by the divine benediction. We have at last to go to the field to bury our dead. Yea, others will in their turn take us to God's acre in the field. But we are blessed, whether weeping at the tomb or sleeping in it.
Thank you.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As defeat in their battle with the army of Israel became apparent, the five heathen kings who had initiated the conflict hid themselves in a cave, hoping to escape from Joshua. But when the battle ended, Joshua found them, and they were put to death. Dr. Cairns is drawing some very sobering spiritual lessons regarding those who think they can escape the judgment of God. First, those pagan kings were under condemnation for their sin against God. As everyone born into this world is a condemned sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those kings first attempted to fight against Joshua and the army of Israel. In their rebellion, sinners try to fight against God, a battle they cannot win. Like those kings, sinners flee to what the Bible calls a refuge of lies, trying to convince themselves that God is not going to judge them for their wickedness. We'll see that there are a number of so-called refuges to which the ungodly flee, but God will sweep away every refuge of lies. Now to continue this message, judgment inescapable for condemned sinners, here is Dr. Cairns.
When I was up in Canada, I saw a little, I'll not call it a magazine, I'll not even call it a news sheet. It was a diatribe written by the Canadian Atheist Association. A greater load of garbage it would be hard to contemplate. Scurrilous in the extreme. But here are people, and they are hiding in the refuge. There is no God. I'll never have to meet God, for there is no God. There is no judgment. There is no day of accounting. There is no time when the books will be opened. Jesus Christ is not coming back again. There is no place or time in the future when I will have to give account of the deeds done in the body. Interestingly, before I saw that scurrilous little rag, I lifted a book that some Dutch Reform people turned out for schools and Sunday schools, and they were talking about atheism, and the writer told the story of a very simple-minded woman who loved the Lord, but she was confronted by an atheistic professor who was giving a lecture, and he was mocking all she believed. And she interrupted, she said, "Sir, I have two simple questions I would like to ask you to answer." Superciliously, he looked at her, for what could this ignorant old woman have to say that would trip up a learned PhD? She said, "My first question is this: if by belief in God and Jesus Christ as His Son, I have entered into peace of conscience and joy of soul, and have lived my life in happiness, and have been able to do good to others, if after all that I am wrong, what have I lost?" There was no answer. She said, "But I do have a second question. If after all this I am right, what have you lost?" The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." Every little cell of your body has a voice that cries, "God is." Every snowflake that falls, every leaf that hangs on the tree, every bird that takes its flight through the sky, every blade of grass that grows, every star that's out in space, every part of God's creation cries out, "God is." It's a refuge of lies that would let you go out to meet God vainly, whistling in the dark and telling yourself there is no God. There are others who take the refuge of lies, of worldly preoccupations. They get so submerged in what they're doing in this world that they blot out the thought of the world to come. It may be the pleasures of the world. It may be the industry of the world. It may be the entertainment of the world. It may be the money and the wealth that this world appears to offer. It may be the company of the world. It may be the sins of the world. Whatever it is, such a preoccupation with this world that it blots out the thought of eternity. Man, I hope you'll see what you really are doing this morning. That's your case. You've simply gone into the cave at Makeda. The only reason you can't see in clear light the approach of God's Joshua in judgment is that the cave has been blocked off with great boulders. You're in the dark, condemned, and awaiting the judgment. We read in Luke chapter 12 of a man who was so full and preoccupied with this world and what it could offer, with having made a great killing, as it were, in his business, he said, "What will I do? I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. And then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat and drink and be merry." The future stretches out invitingly. No thought of God, no thought of judgment, no thought of salvation, no thought of Christ. But God's head. I want to tell you, when God speaks, He always has the last say. God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What of all this worldly preoccupation? What about the job? What about the company? What about the thrills? What about the money? What about the entertainment? Man, when you're going out into eternity, none of these things have any attraction. They mean nothing. What will become of your soul? Worldly preoccupations are a refuge of lies. There are others who seek the refuge of lies of a Christless religion. They do enough religious things to keep their conscience happy. They go to church, though they'll not want to pay too much attention to a gospel message. They'll maybe read the Bible now and again. They'll maybe make a decision. Anything but have Christ. Let me tell you that religion that has not Jesus Christ as its heart and core is a refuge of lies. The religious exercise that tries to keep the conscience calm while keeping you away from personal faith and total commitment to Jesus Christ is a refuge of lies. And God says, in the heel of my wrath, I will sweep it away. Can you see that mighty thunder cloud break over the heads of the ungodly? Can you see the heel of the wrath of God? You see it sweep away the atheism of the infidel. You see it sweep away the worldly preoccupation of the pleasure or profit-loving sinner. But equally side by side, do you see it sweep away the church pew and the man or the woman clinging to it? Out into hell from a church pew. A refuge of lies. Out into hell from a Christian family. Out into hell from a Sunday school class. Damned with the gospel ringing in your ears. Because you entered into a refuge of lies. Perhaps the most crowded cave in all the Makedas of this world is the one called procrastination. Not today. I'll get saved by and by. I look into that cave and I see Felix there, trembling. Trembling under the effect of gospel preaching, with his conscience stirred, knowing what he ought to do, he says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you again, preacher. I believe that was the last time God ever spoke to Felix. Put it off. And he put it off forever. What a refuge of lies. I believe we have people here this morning. You don't intend to go to hell. You don't intend to be brought down in the judgment. In your heart, you know that God is. Jesus Christ is His Son. He died the just for the unjust. He rose again physically the third day from the dead. He ever lives to make intercession for His people. He's able to see it. He's willing to see it. He calls you to Himself. You know that. You believe it with your head. But not now. Not now. Some other time, when I'm a little older, when I've done a few things I have in mind, not now. Procrastination is not only the thief of time, it is one of the greatest damners of souls in the world. Some of you are hovering on the borderland of God's eternity, saying, "Preacher, I'll get saved by and by." But God says, it's a refuge of lies, and the heel will sweep it away. I would to God that sinners would recognize how dangerous it is to trifle with the gospel. Remember a Saturday afternoon many years ago in a little town in the county down coast in Northern Ireland. We had gone for our annual Sunday school outing. The three of us young fellows who had Sunday school classes, we had been down to the hall where the meal was being served, and we had done our jobs there and cleaned up after the kids, and we had a few minutes left to ourselves. We were walking up the street. Coming along, there was a young man. Each of us knew him a little. One of us knew him rather well. In fact, quite recently, he had been speaking to that young man about his soul. He believed it all, but he wasn't interested quite then. That Saturday afternoon, once again, we met with him, had a few words with him, but he wasn't interested in hearing about the gospel. That was Saturday. 21 years old. The next Friday, that young man in God's eternity. And I don't think any of the three of us have ever forgotten that day. I don't think we ever will. To think that there is a young fellow who believed that life was before him. He believed the gospel as far as factual information went. But he could never get beyond this. Not today. Too many things to do. Too many places to go. Too many friendships to cultivate. Too many pleasures to indulge. Not today. I don't think I'd be going too far to say that that was the last time he ever had a Christian witness to him. The last time he went into the refuge of lies, God swept it away.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.